This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
At least 12 injured. A shooting at a grocery store. Where? I'll tell you where. Federal arrest warrants have been issued for Gabby Petito's fiance, Brian Landry. But where is he? He's in the wind. And so many people are talking about this story. And why is that? That it has pulled so many people in. Plus, what's happening on the Hill, or what isn't happening on the Hill. Hey, everybody. Business as usual, right? As the world turns in a lot of different directions. Kate Delaney, thanks so much for hanging with us here on the show. Some of you might be new. Some of you are what I call regulars. So again, thanks. We have the red carpet rolled out for everybody. Everybody's equal on this carpet. This show is about what the buzz is in my backyard and your backyard. And why do we care? And, of course, anytime there's a shooting, I hate this, shattering our lives, whether it's a church, a school, the grocery store, or someplace where you think, could you not just go to a grocery store and not have to worry about hearing bullets whizzing by? But a gunman killed one, wounded 12. This happened in Tennessee before dying from what looked like a self-inflicted gun wound. Pretty much that's what's been said since earlier this afternoon. It happened at about 1:30, and this is a town 30 miles east, give or take, of Memphis. So, of course, you have grocery store shoppers fleeing for their lives from the building while you hear gunshots being fired inside. Reminds me a lot of what happened in Colorado. People were hiding in freezers. They were in locked offices. One employee was extracted from the roof of the store. Four, sadly, are in critical condition. Just horrific. What words can we say to this? There are people who are unbalanced. There are people who do things that just push you to the limits of your capacity of wondering why. This is a grocery store in a sleepy town in a strip mall across from several restaurants. It's a suburb, a typical suburb in the United States of America with give or take 50,000 people. So this is something, of course, the people there didn't see happening. And this is the same story we usually hear when something like this happens. And then it's the story of the people who got out and the people who were trapped and the people who tried to help the other people. And there is that, people trying to help other people when something so shocking happens. And this shooting comes 6 months after a gunman killed 10 people at a Boulder, Colorado shooting in a supermarket. Very close to a very good friend of mine, King Supers is the name of that grocery store chain. And boy, oh boy, I mean, it's just, again, something that takes your breath away because you think, when I go to the grocery store, am I, as I stumble in to grab a few things, grab some dog food for Guinness, grab some other things, is this a place where you have to look over your shoulder? And then there are people who say, well, this is why, if more people had guns, they could defend others. And here's also the problem with that. I mean, I'm about gun rights, right? So I absolutely am about the Second Amendment, but I'm for making sure we have the checks, making sure that there are solid background checks, because then that is the other side of the equation. Could this have been stopped? Was it somebody who got a gun illegally? Is it, you know, all those questions are flying around in the air. Speaking of questions, what do people think when they look at the situation with Gabby Petito? Here she is in a van, traveling around, having fun, posting lots and lots of different video and photos of her fiance, Brian Landry, and now he is wanted, and he has just evaporated. And so sad. Her body was found in a national park in Wyoming, and this story has gripped tightly a lot of people, a lot of people with young daughters, a lot of young women, a lot of, I think, people just in general looking at her and thinking, what happened here? What's the end of this? And especially with so many people feeling like they're mini sleuths, so many people who are listening to true crime podcasts, etc., and looking at stories like this and saying, why was he not detained before? How could this be allowed to happen? Well, there was no body. Petito's remains were found Sunday in an undeveloped camping area in the Bridger-Teton National Forest in Wyoming. And then her death was ruled a homicide on Tuesday in preliminary findings. And she was, of course, reported missing by her family on September 11th. And people are looking for information. Law enforcement is looking for information. The FBI, especially, they're trying to piece this together. And they're saying no piece of information is too small or inconsequential to support the efforts in the investigation. So the understanding is, this arrest warrant for Brian Landry is related to what happened after the death of Gabby Petito. And is it related to her actual demise? And some are saying, no, it's not. The FBI is focusing on locating him. And when that happens, the specifics of the charges covered under the indictment will be addressed. So how about that? Investigators, again, searching a 25,000-acre Florida nature reserve for any signs of Landry, who returned home September 1st from a road trip without his fiance. And in the indictment, he apparently used a debit card and a PIN number for accounts that didn't belong to him for charges of over $1,000 between the dates of August 30th and September 1st. So a lot of things are fishy and suspicious and everything else in between about this, but very sad for the family. In the end, they can't bring her back. She died in some twisted, horrible way. And, of course, there are heavy suspicions about what happened to him as he evaporated into thin air. The other thing that has gripped us is not just what happened today with this shooting in a grocery store, and you're thinking about your own families and shopping or whatever your thoughts are related to that. And the situation with the young missing young woman, there is the explosion, the humanitarian crisis at the border, which now has shrunk because there was so much immediate action in Del Rio, in that border town, that now you're down to about 4,000 or so, mostly Haitian people who are trying to get asylum in the United States. But the good news there is that thanks to an executive order that was put on the books, it was easy to tackle this situation and not let it bleed into week after week after week after week. More on that and other odds and ends coming up on the flip side.
Yes, the pandemic is coming to an end. Restrictions are coming to an end. But body aches and pains never seem to end. That's why you need to click sunny-bay.com for the best sleep you can get. Sunny Bay's legendary products can help, like our lavender stress-reducing products, locally sourced and handmade in the USA. Or try Sunny Bay's award-winning pillows for traveling or extra neck support while sleeping. No need for pills or expensive chiropractic visits. Our neck support pillows are that good. Sunny Bay is a homegrown, small business, but our products are designed and rigorously tested based on your demand and feedback. And they make great gifts for mom, dad, or anyone. Find Sunny Bay products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, or at sunny-bay.com. And right now, get free heat patches and a belt with any purchase. So remember, Sunny Bay heating pads, neck pillows, and stress-relieving hot or cold wraps. As restrictions come to an end and you get back to work, do it the healthy way with Sunny Bay.
In the last 12 months, the Federal Reserve has added over $4 trillion to their balance sheet. It's led to an explosion in financial assets. Stocks, bonds, commodities, cryptocurrencies, housing prices have all exploded higher. But the Federal Reserve can't keep this going forever. This is unsustainable. It's why you need Advantage Gold. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver the right way. Call 800-900-8000. We don't pay celebrities millions of dollars. We pass that value on to you. It's why we're number one. Call 800-900-8000 now. Speak with one of our experts and learn how. We'll send you a free gold kit and a copy of my national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call 800-900-8000 now.
Brought to you by Bank of America. A recent Bank of America survey found 61% of college students practice saving. However, just 45% create and stick to a budget. Budgeting is a critical lifelong skill and allows you to save strategically. Aaron McCullen, Head of Deposit Products at Bank of America.
As a college student, it's all too easy to overspend and bust your budget. Every dollar counts when purchasing textbooks, restocking the fridge, or catching up with friends over dinner. When you head back to campus and activities ramp up, creating or updating your budget is critical. Also look for ways to start saving for the future, even if it's a small amount. Automatic saving tools like Bank of America's Keep the Change make it easy to incorporate savings into everyday college life.
Keep the Change rounds purchases made with a Bank of America debit card to the nearest dollar and transfers the change to a savings account. Learn more at bankofamerica.com/students.
To what's happening at the border and how quickly some of those people that were really fearing for their lives and safety and don't want to go back to Haiti because of everything that's happening there were dispersed and sent into to other areas. And the key thing here is I think there are some misconceptions that suddenly how did the people that were in Del Rio get from Haiti to Del Rio, and that's not what happened. They were in South America, Central America, and just kept pushing toward the border, and it was just a flood, an unexpected flood of humanity all of a sudden. And you think of what has happened in Haiti and the conversations that are happening, and that led to, I think, many thinking that, boy, we got to get there because we need to be able to take advantage, perhaps, of getting asylum. And we might not be able to do it because of some of the things that are starting to happen with the amount of people and the limitations. And then seeing what's happening with Afghan refugees, for example. So the good news in all of this is that, and I think they, so many Border Patrol agents don't like the way they were portrayed, especially the mounted agents who say they were just trying to help, trying to deflect some of the crisis at the border, trying to actually protect the people, but then horrific images are released, and then that gets turned upside down. And is it one or two people? Is it something that was just was an errant mounted patrol agent or DHS agent or two? So now the Department of Homeland Security has ordered the use of horse patrols in Del Rio suspended because of some of the images. Not the images showing many of them bending down, trying to help some of the people, that kind of thing, but the ones of chasing people down, etc. So the only way the Department of Homeland Security, I think, felt like they could handle that was to say, okay, we're not going to do this. So Mayorkas, who is the Homeland Security Secretary, said on Wednesday that Border Patrol agents on horseback confronting Haitian refugees, that's been removed. That's done. They're not going to have regular duty like that anymore. They're going to investigate those that they have on video or photos of, and they're gone. They're gone. At least they're removed from, temporarily suspended. They're removed from the front line, so to speak. Because some agents, what people were seeing were the long reins that they were swinging. So Mayorkas told the House Homeland Security Committee that he shared their outrage over the images and was going to pull no punches in punishing anyone found to have acted outside of the rules, right? But then you start to question, okay, what are their rules, right? What are the rules? I mean, so that's the thing. There was cars that were blocking people at the border. There were people, just a sea of people underneath that bridge. And now that, luckily, like I said before, has been mitigated for the most part. I mean, there's still a couple of thousand that are still there, but the giant hordes of people are gone. They were pushed out, put on planes, sent out to other facilities and buses, and all of that took place because so many other people were rerouted from the DHS and other law enforcement types to get there as soon as possible, right? So there were people that were camped for a week under the bridge in Del Rio, Texas. They were sleeping on concrete. They were getting by on bottled water and bread and were stressed and just trying to start a new life and wanted to get there as quickly as possible. So some of the Haitian migrants in Del Rio were released in the United States. Because remember, one of the things that the Biden administration said, that thousands in the camp faced immediate expulsion to Haiti, but they didn't all get that expulsion. There have been apparently a very, very large scale of people in the last couple of days, and we don't know what the figure is, who have been released. Released with notices to appear at an immigration office within 60 days, requiring less processing time from Border Patrol agents than ordering an appearance in immigration court. So the speed, the movement was, I think part of that helped with just quickly getting them out. But then it becomes a question of, well, who's in, who's out, and are there tabs on that? So those releases were part of that effort to get some on planes, pandemic-related pressures, and not having so many trying to get asylum, because there is a limit on the asylum. So how many flights daily were there to Haiti? And that number's confusing, too. I heard anywhere from 3 to actually 7. There's a big difference between 3 and 7. I mean, we do know 10 flights arrived in Haiti from Sunday to Tuesday, and they were small flights, though. They were planes that were designed for 135 passengers, and you're talking about this amount of people was probably close to 14,000, 15,000 people, and 6 of the flights had 713 or so combined. And then the other thing was busing Haitians from Del Rio, that small border town of only like 35,000, And then again, adding flights to even Tucson. So there's people listening to us in Tucson, and there are people being processed by the Border Patrol in Tucson, Arizona still. And see, what's the criteria? The criteria for deciding who's flown to Haiti, who's released in the U.S. I couldn't ever really get a straight answer about that. And I don't think anybody's reported that either. That previously there was sort of a guide on anybody seeking asylum. But if somebody is vulnerable, right, if you had families with young children, if you had somebody with medical issues, if you had maybe pregnant women could go into that list, and they would go, I'm sure, that they would be handled a little bit differently. And what about those that had unaccompanied children from those flights, right? So it's a screwball-y system. I mean, there is no official access to what the process is. And I think, honestly, it was, what do? I mean, we're in the thick of this now. So how do we legally do whatever it is that we're going to do? How do we move people out? How do we move them out of the country? How do we move them to different facilities? How do we decide? How do we split this up? How do we figure this out? Right? You know, some were required to wear ankle monitors to ensure that they obeyed the instructions to report to immigration authorities later. And then the other thing is, of course, the language barrier. And so what are the options? And there are many people that speak Spanish, but you still have to find them all, be able to translate, and be able to pick apart who's there, who's with who, and where they came from and how they got there and what's their story. And there's no time to process these big stories, so you got people in lots of different directions. It's really, honestly, what you have. That's what you have in this situation. And look, the Biden administration under pressure, what are they saying? They're saying that the borders are not open. People shouldn't make the dangerous journey. Individuals and families are subjected to border restrictions, including expulsion. But that doesn't seem to stop. It didn't seem to stop anybody, right? I mean, Mexico's begun busing and flying Haitian migrants away from the U.S. border. So maybe there was a little bit of support on the other side of the border. It sure never seemed like there was a lot of that, but maybe there's a little bit more, because that would help if you had a stopgap on the other side. And how are people going to enter? Of course, they're crossing that river. And they're looking for someone to stay with them. Maybe they have people in the United States. But here's the key takeaway in this. The key takeaway is they're investigating what could just be a couple of bad apples in some terrible video and terrible moments when they were on horseback being overwhelmed. And, of course, the giant amount of people now has been drastically reduced. Meet you in a few.
I spend a lot of time in the garage, but even more time in the rain, sleet, and mud. In 95, I helped tow your moving trailer. In 05, I helped you get out of a ditch. Yeah, I know I'm a bit rusty, and sadly in 09, it was sparks from me, your handy chains, dragging behind your truck that accidentally started a wildfire.
Sparks from dragging chains can start a wildfire. Spark a change, not a wildfire. Visit SmokeyBear.com, brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
You USA Radio News with Wendy King.
Former Trump administration officials have been issued subpoenas to appear before the committee that's investigating the January 6th riot. Former White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows has been issued a subpoena by the House Select Committee investigating January 6th. Former Deputy Chief of Staff Dan Scavino, former Defense Department official Kash Patel, and former White House advisor Steve Bannon are being instructed to produce materials and come to depositions next month. Committee members have indicated they want to know more about meetings with former President Trump in the days leading up to the violent Capitol breach that disrupted the counting of the Electoral College. One person is dead and a dozen others have been injured in Collierville, Tennessee. Police say a gunman opened fire inside a Kroger supermarket. The suspect is also dead by an apparent self-inflicted gunshot wound. This is USA Radio News. Vice President Kamala Harris met with Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi, becoming the highest-ranking U.S. official of Indian heritage to welcome the Prime Minister. Modi hailed the election of Harris as an important and historic event, describing her as the source of inspiration for so many people across the world. He praised the United States for taking very important initiatives on COVID-19 and climate change. Harris responded by hailing India's commitment to democracy as she declared that democracies around the world are under threat and the United States and its allies must work to defend them. Harris also noted that India was a vital source of vaccines for other countries at the start of the pandemic, while the United States in turn provided support to India as it experienced a surge in cases. Earlier, she met with Ghana's president and promised the U.S. will send an additional 1.3 doses of Pfizer's COVID-19 vaccine to the country. You're listening to USA Radio News.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. That's 800-985-1610.
Everybody, ooh, a ton of them. You too can reach out and touch us through the miracle of the internet. Kate at katedelaneyradio.com. Yep, so lots of you did just that in the last 7 days. In fact, every day. I mean, seriously, I've said this a few times. I'm just going to say it again like a broken record. I can't believe the amount of email that I get, the amount of email that I receive. I worked in New York City. I didn't get this much email. I worked in Dallas, a top five market, didn't get that much email. I mean, I got email, but not this kind of email. So I think this is an audience that discovers us in lots of different ways, a thoughtful audience. And I also think that people want to call in, but sometimes they hang back. Remember, you can always dive on what we're talking about at any time. You are totally included in the conversation. 855-266-5283, 855-266-5283. All right, this one is from Nick, who is listening to us in Michigan. And Nick says, hey, Kate, I was wondering, I love listening to you talk about business. I really vibe on what you're saying. And I remember I caught you one time when you were talking about, hey, what were you going to do? You had to school yourself in some of this because nobody was going to teach you that no matter what happened. You didn't learn about the markets that much in college because you were focused on journalism. And I can totally relate to that as my major was very similar to yours. And yes, I know, you know, the basics, but I felt like I had to diversify and learn the same things. And I laugh out loud when you talk about the market being like a craps table. I think it's all a gamble. Yeah, touche. Thanks, Nick. It is all a gamble, right? So last week I was talking about the bomb that went off with the market, right? And now I'm talking about that the Dow Jones gains right now, as of Nick saying that, over 500 points or 1.48%. So there was a big rally on Thursday. So Thursday's gains pushed the major averages back into the green for the week after there was the fear around a crisis in China's property market. But that kind of eased. And guess what else was really big? The Federal Reserve kept, you know, the current monetary stimulus, if you want, in place a little bit longer because there's always the fear of that happening. And the Dow just had dropped, what was it, 600 points on Monday, then fell again on Tuesday because of that crazy Chinese developer Evergrande, that group, crashing, and then how that sent China spiraling. So there were a couple of little boosts and probably hump day that happened from the Fed with the central bank saying there was no immediate removal of stimulus policies. So again, that helped, right? I mean, the bottom line is this: the market turns on negative news and it swings on positive news because negative news means sell-off. Well, there's lots of sell-offs. Or you look at what a company is predicting, what they're forecasting for the quarter, and when they set, you know, when they release their reports, what was expected, and then what actually happens, and the numbers don't basically match, then you have a slide back, especially if you have a bunch of different stocks where it does that. Anyway, this is not a stock show, but he, you know, Nick is dead on when he says that. I had to school myself in some things, and there is no sure. I think there is no sure thing. That's why diversification to me is the answer, and paying attention and just, you know, you're in charge of yourself. Pay attention to what you're doing. Get the best bang for your buck that you can get. Get the best rates, period, that you can get. All right, this one is from Joey. I like it when Joey emails us. And this is a Joey, because there's a lot of different Joeys and Josephs and et cetera. I know they're all different. Joey is listening to us in Brownwood on 1240 AM. Kate Delaney, I've been listening to you for a long time on KXYL. I'm so glad you're still around, because I know how this business is in the radio world. It seems every time I am crazy for somebody and I like what they have to say and it's a little bit of a different flair, you never know how much they're going to hang around. But you got some support here, girl. I'll tell you what, looking at Del Rio, you just shake your head and you say, damned if you do, damned if you don't. What happens if you are the Border Patrol and you're overwhelmed and all that you're told is do not let this wall of people in? We have to figure this out and we got to run them in different directions. And you're kind of stuck scratching your head when there's just not enough people, right? Yeah, you are left scratching your head. I mean, there was even a report that was circulating that they might send the Haitians to Guantanamo. And, of course, that would be incredibly expensive and stupid, and that's not going to happen. That can't be that operation center. It doesn't make any sense for that to happen. There is no plan for that. I mean, the problem is how are you, you know, again, how are you vetting? How do you know who's coming in? What are you supposed to do when you're in that position? You've got these camps, and it's sad. I mean, so of course, you see some of the families, but then you just see a crunch of people, right? And so what What tactics do you use? How do you clean this up? How do you humanitarily clean up a humanitarian crisis like this? And it again raises the questions, the concerns of just vetting in general. I mean, look what else we have going on. You've got Afghan refugees who are being housed at an army post in Wisconsin after two Afghan men were charged with crimes there. So then the concern becomes Fort McCoy's, many of you in Wisconsin who are listening know, houses what? Over 12,000 Afghan refugees? And they got there in late August. And, of course, the concern is identification, vetting, and all that, and all of that. So you're getting it on all kinds of crazy ends. And then you look at what's happening south of the border. And trust me, you're going to have more moments like that happen. All right, let's take another one. This one is from Jackson, who is listening to us on, it looks like, 890 AM. And Jackson says, "Hey, Kate, I was wondering for something completely different. I get so much of the same politics day in and day out, and sometimes I just got to take a break. I agree with you. What are your thoughts on the Panthers, as it looks like they are now so in the driver's seat?" Yeah, talk about so in the driver's seat. They're 3-0. After a Thursday night football game where they just tore it up over the Texans, 24-9 was the final score. And I say tore it up because, you know, the opportunities, Houston had very little. And Sam Darnold threw for 304 yards, ran for a couple of touchdowns. I mean, he does what he can. It seems like this is just such a great fit. And, you know, they lost Christian McCaffrey with a hamstring injury early in the game, early in the, I want to say, second quarter. So I think, yeah, the Panthers are absolutely a team to watch for, to see. I think they could certainly make it into the playoffs, but I'm saying this as they're, you know, 3-0. What I have said in the beginning of the season, looking at them, that's why I say you have to wait and see what happens. What I said that in the beginning of the season, just looking at a roster, looking at some notes from what happened in training camp. Yeah, no. And now what happens? Christian McCaffrey, how long is he gone? How about J.C. Horn? How long is J.C. gone? Two huge stars for them. What's the next game going to look like? And then you look up and down the schedule. And it's interesting because the Panthers, after this, are at the Cowboys, right? And then they have the Eagles and the Vikings and the Giants. They got a couple of home games that are mixed in there. The Eagles and the Vikings are home games. I think that helps them even more because they have such a loud crew of people cheering for them. But, hey, right now in the NFC South, they got that third win, so they're on top. But remember, you still have Tampa Bay. What's New Orleans going to look like in the end? I think Atlanta is just a goose egg team. I mean, they might win a couple games, but they're not going to be contenders. But we'll see what happens with the Saints. And I think Tampa Bay is definitely a contender. So I hope that answers that. All right, one last one. Let's squeeze this one in. This one is from Gene, who says, "Kate, wow, that grocery store shooting, it makes you think maybe I should just pick up my damn groceries curbside. And I don't want to be threatened or have my way of life completely changed once again, because we're already all living in whatever it is that we're living in thanks to the virus. And what happened in Tennessee is just a damn shame for the people who had to hide, had to run. You can only imagine the kind of people that were in the grocery store. Mothers, young people, older people. I mean, every kind of swath of life. But yeah, I couldn't have said it better. You're absolutely right. You think somebody's in surgery. Somebody else is fighting for their life in the ICU. Somebody has a massive anxiety attack, which almost leads to a heart attack. I mean, it's terrible, of course. An act of senseless violence. That's what it is. You can send me your thoughts 24/7, Kate at katedelaneyradio.com. A surprise next.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
What will you do if there's a sudden food shortage? Given recent headlines, it seems likely, and at any moment. That's why it makes common sense to build your emergency food storage supply now, while you still can. Do it with the kind of food that stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. Food that doesn't go bad like what you get at the grocery store. Whose food should you trust? The largest preparedness company in America, My Patriot Supply. We've served millions of American families going on 14 years. At MyPatriotSupply.com, our mission is your survival. Our emergency food could definitely be your lifesaver when the peanut butter hits the fan. Choose from dozens of delicious meal kits that provide over 2,000 calories a day, which is what your body needs. Order today and your food will ship fast in unmarked boxes to protect your privacy. Don't wait. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
All right, final turn for this hour. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney once again, 24/7. We just bounced out of the mailbag, Kate at katedelaneyradio.com. Well, it was last week we were talking about the Rolling Stones magazine releasing the 500 greatest songs of all time. They've done it for the first time in 17 years. They did it before, so they remade the list, they say, with the best songs ever. 250 artists, writers, industry figures helped them choose the new list of historic favorites, world-changing anthems, and some new classics. And I question some of what was on that list, especially in the top probably 25. Aretha Franklin's Respect was number one, and you got to give the Queen respect, and the history of that song is pretty interesting. I don't know that I completely disagree with her song being number one. You could pick the number one song, I think, is very, very difficult. But rocking the technicals here for this show, and he does an incredible job, is our own Alex Kay. And we thought it'd be fun for the two of us to pick our top five songs. And you can see that we probably have different tastes, and we may have eclectic tastes. but I don't know what his songs are, and he, for the most part, doesn't know mine. So we'll see how this goes, because I've had probably too much time to chew on it. Alex Kay, thanks for doing this.
Hey, Kate, pleasure to be on the show.
Okay, so what? We're going to start with you. We're going to start at number five. What
All right.
was your fifth song on your top five list?
Okay, so my number five song was a song that another board op here actually showed me, and it is called "The Patient" by Tool. And
The Patient.
Yep, The Patient. And it's my only metal song on the list. They're more like prog rock, but it's got some killer guitar and some of the coolest drums in like any song I've heard.
Ooh. Well, I just scribbled that down. I love drums. We've had on the show the drummer for Pink a few times. And I've been on a couple of shows where, I mean, I don't drum, but I've been on this friend of mine has a huge show about drummers and asked me to come on the show and talk about some other things. And we talked about drummers that we like. So, I'm going to give you props on that because I'm going to look at that, The Patient Tool.
Definitely worth checking out, yes, especially if you're into drums.
Cool. All right, so my top five songs, starting with number five, Muddy Waters, Hoochie Coochie Man.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I do know that one.
Oh, that is, I'm telling you, brother, that is blues. So deep.
Muddy Waters, he's one of my favorites. I think we've talked about it before.
Oh, yeah. I love Muddy Waters, and he really gets on it and gets after it. I mean, he is jamming out on this song.
Good song choice.
Such an icon. I mean, so relaxed, so natural, so amazing. So I wanted to pick something of his, and that's probably my favorite. So, okay.
Well deserved.
Yeah, so we both like that. So who's number four on your list?
All right. Number four is going to go to one of my favorite rappers. The song is called Book of Soul, and it's by Ab Soul.
Oh, I know that. I know Ab Soul.
Yep, he works with Kendrick Lamar.
Yep.
And they're both on TDE. And this song, Book of Soul, is just a story all about his life. And it's not all happy, but he tells it all very beautifully. And it's just so real, but so poetic. One of my favorites.
Okay, so I love it. You're a lyrics person, too. It's about the music and what moves you with the music. So my number four is Adele. And Adele is easy to pick Adele, right? Because she's got lots of music out there. She's popular.
Got some hits. Oh, yeah.
She's got some hits. But I kind of like one of her songs that was a hit. I guess it would be called a hit, but it's not the main hit you would think. I picked her song where the lyrics really hit me, where this is the end, hold your breath and count to 10, feel the earth move, and then hear my heart burst again. That actually ended up being the theme song for a James Bond movie, Skyfall.
Oh,
and if you watch James Bond, it's really these, and they really picked a lot of different people over the years to do the theme song. So it's a big, it's a BDD, what I call a big damn deal if you get picked
to
it.
Oh, yeah.
And so if anyone listening to us, if you go and just look up Skyfall and you listen to that, it's beautifully done. And I think it shows the strength of her voice and how well she can, I think, storytell a song. That's what she is to me, a storyteller who sings.
Yep. And, man, James Bond movies always have banging soundtracks. So definitely a BDD to get on there.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so we're both at four. So now we go to three. Who's three for you?
All right, we're getting close, hitting the top three here. And it's going to go to Angel Dust by Mac Miller.
Angel Dust.
Yep.
Mac Miller.
So this one was hard because I knew Mac Miller needed a song in my list, but he has so many songs that I like that I just chose the one that I vibe with every time I listen to it, you know?
Absolutely. If it's an earworm, meaning you can hear it over and over again, it just sticks with you. Okay, so Angel Dust.
Super catchy at the end, and that part stays with me always, yep.
Yeah, I scribbled that down. I've heard it once or twice, but I haven't heard it enough. I have to go back and listen to it. So for me, this may really surprise a lot of people. I'm going to throw you a wicked curveball. Kanye West, Stronger. Work it, make do it, makes us harder, better, faster, stronger. Yep.
It's so obvious when you say it like that.
Yep, exactly. Again, lyrics, it's strong.
Oh, yeah.
I like the song.
And I almost put Kanye in my top five, so that's a good pick. I love that song, yep.
Nice. Okay, so now we're down to number two, right?
Number two.
What's number two?
For me, I had to go R&B on my number two, and I went with Party Next Door, TBH, to be honest. It's real short, real sweet, but like we were talking about the lyrics in this one, every lyric counts, and I love it.
To be honest, I love it. That's good. I'm going to go look up the lyrics for that. I'm going to say Party Next Door. Wow. I'm going to say for me, two was, and this was tough, but I had to get the Rolling Stones in there somewhere. So I put Rolling Stones. Picking the song was hard, but I like the way the song is written and where it goes, Under My Thumb. Under my thumb.
Yep.
Ba-ba-ba-ba. I just like it.
Yep. That's a great song.
I think it's a good song, too. All right, so now we have to,
please,
roll out our number one. So what is, Alex K., your number one song?
Number one song is going to be an older song, one that's always inspired me, and it just keeps me feeling comfortable, you know, and it's going to be Friendly Skies by Missy Elliott.
I love Missy Elliott. Let's hear it. Nice.
All right.
I love it. I'm a big Missy Elliott fan. I like Missy Elliott, and Gwen Stefani did a song I like called Kiss. And and I'm a Missy Elliott fan, too. And that's a beautiful ballad, the one that you just played. All right, here's my number one song. Roll it, and let's see if anybody can remember what song this is.
All right.
What do you think of Fame and David Bowie?
Man, I was jamming to it the whole night.
Nice. Well, David Bowie and John Lennon actually wrote that song together, and it was the first big hit for David Bowie. And it's an earworm for me, so it made my list. Alex K., that was fun. I like our top fives, frankly.
Hey, it was super fun. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. You might have a different top five. Send them to me. KateDelaneyRadio.com. Make it count, everybody.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep. Go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.